I think that it is exceedingly marvelous in the wisdom of God that the Sermon on the Mount is placed right at the beginning of the New Testament. Any Christian, any person who has his attention directed to the Gospels, to the New Testament, is given a copy of the New Testament, will find, before he has read very many pages, this wonderful sermon, which we call the Sermon on the Mount. This is absolutely basic to our Christian experience. It's an absolutely basic to our Christian growth. We are speaking and thinking some these days, and have been since the new year, of the text which the Lord gave us at that time, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, one of the greatest methods, one of the greatest aids, one of the greatest helps to this growth is the Sermon on the Mount. And yet I fear that this particular portion of Scripture is neglected a great deal. Oh, we certainly know various portions of it. We know, perhaps we learned when we were but children, the Beatitudes, and yet it seems to me, as I get acquainted with folks who are a little older and who have not been out of childhood very long, that it seems as though that fewer and fewer of our young people know the Beatitudes by heart. But anyway, we should know them, and we are acquainted with the name. We also know certain passages of Scripture that are also found in the Sermon on the Mount. We know the Lord's Prayer. We know Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We also know, "Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Some of these passages we use as conveniences when we are in trouble. And certainly God in his great mercy does give unto us when we ask, and he does answer and help us to find when we seek, and he does open unto us when we knock. But oh, there's far, far, far more in this marvelous Sermon on the Mount than just these passages, blessed as they are, which I have referred to. There's the absolute fundamental law, viewpoint, absolutely the rock bottom, shall we say, that is essential for any valid Christian experience, for anything that is going to really stand. And more, the more I read this passage of Scripture, the more I consider it, the more I pray over it, the more I realize how absolutely necessary it is to get it into our heads, yes, but much more so into our hearts, into our experiences, to live it, to see how that it covers every phase of our life, how that it deals with every part of us, how it deals with our thinking, how it deals with our outward acts, how it deals with our prayer life, with our giving, with our other spiritual exercises, how it deals with the whole of our whole relationship to God, to others, to society as a whole, to our enemies, how very, very fundamental this one portion of Scripture is. Are you really acquainted with it? Do you know what it says? Do you consider that it is so fundamental? Have you ever really meditated upon this wonderful, wonderful word? But it's very essential that we do something about it, because I'm certain that the word of Jesus Christ is absolutely true. I know it's true because he said it. But I also know it's true by observation that anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And it fell. But those who hear and do, not just hear, not just have the Beatitudes on your wall as a motto, but those who hear and do, hear and do these sayings of mine, shall be likened unto a man who built his house upon the rock. Where is your house built? Are you doing what Jesus has told you to do? Have you endeavored, do you endeavor to really live the word of Christ in the Spirit? Do you endeavor to make it your portion to have your life in perfect alignment with that word? This is the word of the Father to the children, to us, his children. It's in this passage of Scripture, incidentally, that we have the first revelation in the New Testament and virtually in the entire Word of God, with the exception of two or three casual references in the Old Testament. But this is the first portion, place, where God is revealed unto us as our Father. And as a loving Father, he is talking unto us, his children. He's telling us what is good for us, what will it be for our blessing, what will be for our happiness, what will be for our joy. He's telling us, too, how we're going to get into certain difficulties if we do not take this word, if we do not follow it. We're going to get into sorrow. We're going to get into difficulty. We're going to get into disaster, as sure as we live. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, there is something that is said that is very akin to this. It says that Jesus says, I came not to break the law, but to fulfill it. And one who will do or teach that the least of these commandments, referring to the moral law of God, to the law of God that was given, teaching us how to live, whosoever shall do or break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And there are people today who definitely teach and do it in the name of the Lord. They teach that it's not necessary to keep the least commandments. They're not necessary to keep the greatest, let alone the least. They do exactly what Jesus indicates some will do. But Jesus Christ, right at the beginning, before great prominence is given to his healing ministry. Yes, I know there's reference to it before this time. But before the miracles of healing themselves, the great miracles of healing, the outstanding miracles of healing are performed, before Jesus enters into that particular part of his ministry, into that phase of his ministry, and we might say, before we get acquainted with that phase of his ministry, in one sense of the word, certainly as we read the Gospels, Jesus makes it very, very clear, that the important thing is how we live, that the important thing is our relationship with God, the important thing is our heart and our heart attitude, the important thing is how we walk day by day in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. Thank God for signs and wonders. They're part of the gospel. They're promised to all them that believe, without any question whatsoever. May God grant us more of them. And thank God that He is filling the earth with His glory. And His glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Thank God for that. But the Word of God also makes it very clear that there will be false signs and false wonders and things that will be done which, if possible, shall deceive the very elect. But if you want the measuring line, if you want the rule by which to go, if you want a touchstone by which you can discern whether one is on the right track or not, you have it right here in this precious Sermon on the Mount, with the emphasis on obedience, the necessity of doing the will of our Father which is in heaven.